Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome everyone to Women Leading the Way Radio, hosted by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host this morning, and our very own leading lady today is Miss Tammy Diaz, who's the owner of the Franchise Connection. And our topic this morning is on franchising. And Tammy, this was such a great topic, is that it's so much more than just food. So, Tammy, are you there?
I am here.
We want to get excited about franchising this morning. Are you ready?
Woo-hoo! I'm ready to talk about franchising.
I always start off my radio interview and say I've had a boatload of coffee this morning, so, you know, let's fire people up about franchising.
I have to admit, I've had a boatload of coffee as well.
Good, we'll be great today. I love that. Well, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I just got to ask you this. I mean, how the heck did you get into helping people buy franchises? I know we're going to talk about a lot of different stuff, but the background's always good. How did you get into franchising? I'm curious.
Well, it was kind of an organic thing that it came about. I had multiple businesses that I owned and ran here locally in San Diego. And after, gosh, I had three actual automotive businesses, and I was a commercial landlord. And by surprise, I became pregnant. So, having a new mom, I decided I might want to take a little bit off my plate. So, through the selling of my businesses and my commercial building, I was at a transition, just like the folks that I work with. And I said, well, I have these skills, and I've experienced business ownership for over, whatever, 13, 15 years. And I had certain things I absolutely wanted and certain things I absolutely did not want in my next business venture. And so I discovered franchising. I did not own a franchise in my prior career. I actually started businesses from scratch, mom and pop.
Hey, and Tammy, what were some of the things that, back up, what were some of the things that you said were, you know you didn't want versus what you did want? I'm kind of curious what that list was like. What were some of the parameters you said of what you were looking for?
Well, because I was in the automotive industry, there was a lot of turnover in my business. There was a lot of regulations in my business, whether it be city, county, state, and I didn't like that. You know, it got to be the point to me where I didn't like going to the mailbox and picking up my mail because I was getting a new bill from some kind of agency. And, yeah. So I didn't want high regulated, agencies in my business. I wanted something that was more smaller, fewer employees, less equipment, less overhead, something that I'd have a more direct impact immediately in my local area. And I want to be able to operate out of a small office or a home office versus paying rent somewhere, which I was doing for, a couple of different businesses.
So, it sounds perfect. It sounds perfect. I mean, how did you then evolve into helping people buy franchises? That just doesn't, you know, for you going from the automotive industry into franchising, just two extremes, how awesome. But how did you get there?
Well, like a lot of folks, I just started Googling. I just started looking on the internet for business opportunities to get involved in. And I stumbled into this franchise brokering industry, and I'm like, I understand small business because I've been there and done that. I also had a background in insurance, real estate, and actually graduated paralegal school. So I understand all the parts of business. It was just a matter of learning about the franchising industry, which is the second biggest industry in the U.S. And that was pretty easy, actually, to learn about franchising. So having the opportunity to help people become entrepreneurs through a franchise startup was just exciting to me, because when I sold my businesses, and my businesses are still open today, run by the people I'm sold them to, that felt so good to empower people to become business owners and make a positive impact to their family and their community as well.
No, that just gets me excited. I think it's a great goal of what you're doing, because seriously, I think people really misunderstand, you know, about franchises, and you nailed one word that I was hoping you'd bring up today, and that is, you know, the transition. So many people right now are, you know, they've been laid off in corporate America, you know, there are people that are in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s with, you know, really nice but work backgrounds. And, you know, I teach entrepreneurship, and it's like one of the things I see is people struggle with what, they know they want to start a business, but not what, you know, what type of business. And that's kind of where you get into helping people select the type of business venture. Is that correct? I mean, how do you go about that? Because I think that's a huge piece, that so many people want to be business owners, but they don't know what type of business to start, and franchises are just right there. It's not just McDonald's and Burger King. So how do you help people find the right venture?
Well, the good news is we all have skill sets. Okay, and they're transferable into different industries. So I get them to start thinking broader. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've had a background in sales, for instance, there's all kinds of franchises that you can get involved in where day in and day out you're actually selling, whether it be business to consumer or business to business. So we go through an actual assessment to determine not only what their skill sets are, but what areas they actually enjoy and have a passion about. You know,
how does somebody, that assessment, is that assessment online? Do they kind of go through, do you ask them a bunch of questions, or how do you get the assessment done? I'm curious.
I have a form that they fill out, and that covers a broad range of, again, their business background as well as a personal assessment. You know, what do they like to do? Are they the type of person that like to be sitting at a desk and never go out and speak with people? Or are they the direct opposite? These are all important core criteria to get into a business model that you can enjoy and thrive in.
Okay, I got to ask you, it's like, is there actually a business venture that you can, like, sit on your butt in your office, never leave? I mean, is there one venture like that?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. You'll have a lot of interest today.
We live in the area of the internet and the telephone and, you know, smartphones.
Give me an idea of a couple of business ventures that, you know, you either are intrigued with. I mean, because, you know, people, when they think franchises, I think that we always kind of assume, we think Burger King, McDonald's, I'm getting hungry this morning, but, you know, we always think of the foodie businesses. What are some hot businesses that are franchise opportunities right now that you see that are kind of cool? You know, I've seen one that's like it's another food one, but like Bundt Cakes, Nothing Bundt Cakes. Have you heard of that franchise?
I have.
Yeah, different. I mean, all specializing in Bundt Cakes, but what are a couple that you think are kind of cool that you can share that are not food, that there's just so many?
Well, you know, talking about food, food's only about one-third of all the offerings in franchising, and I can just think of, just off the top of my head, over 27 industries outside of food.
Only one-third. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, they're just the most dominant because we all like to eat, and whenever you get in your car and drive around, you're going to see a strip center with a food place. It's a no-brainer. But you know what?
Right.
When you're driving around and you look, you also see a dry cleaning place. It's probably a franchise. You're going to see a 7-Eleven. You're going to see spas and gyms and real estate offices and child education. Hotels are franchises. Automotive businesses. There's tons of other retail-type franchises. But if you want to get something that's not retail, you asked me for a unique opportunity. Here's one that does sports fundraising. So think about
fundraising?
High school. Yes. Think about like a high school team. I mean, when you're in high school, you're always needing funding, right, for the uniforms, for the transportation. This is a business opportunity or a franchise that actually helps that school with its fundraising.
Hmm.
Yes.
What's another one?
Go on.
Oh, sorry.
About,
I know we're talking.
Another one would be like executive suites, a franchise that rents a space and they provide a receptionist, they provide faxing and so on for small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of specialty hair cutting franchises. You can specialize in kids' hair cutting where the kids sit in these really, really cool NASCAR or a Barbie chair, and they've got all these videos and visuals for the kids. It makes it really fun for like a six-year-old to sit still because they're totally bombarded by visuals to excite them while the stylist is able to cut their hair.
I know, I love that. How about one that's home-based? What would be maybe one or two home-based business ones? Because those sound like, if I'm reading it right, that, you know, it's a retail facility, take on a commercial location, you know, build out. That sounds expensive. I mean, if somebody doesn't want to spend a lot of money, what are maybe one or two that would be home-based business franchise opportunities, if I can ask?
Sure.
There's so many questions I have for you, Tammy, so.
Well, let's talk about one of the top five growing industries right now, pet.
Okay.
Huge industry. You can get into a pet franchise where you help behavior modification of the dog and the dog owner. That's a home-based opportunity. You go to the folks' house and do the training. You don't have to pay for rent anywhere. You just operate out of your house, but the business mm-hmm. is conducted at home.
And for something like that, so just to kind of give our listeners an idea, it's like, you know, from a commercial location where you have to have a retail facility, take on a lease, you know, probably do build out tenant improvements to flip it to the other side of the, I'll call it the dog therapy and dog owner therapy business. That situation, what are maybe just an approximate of what you would pay to buy a franchise of those types of ventures? Like the home-based business one, what are we talking about? I mean, it's not as expensive as a commercial location one, right?
Absolutely. You can get into some of these home-based opportunities with, all said and done, $20,000. Now, some of them may be a franchise fee of $20,000, but then you need some operating capital. You know, you've got to put fuel in your car. You got to have a telephone. You have to have a computer. It may cost you $50,000 total, all said and done in the year one.
And
some of the franchises actually offer in-house financing.
In-house? Now, that's something new I've never heard, because it was always, you know, even like McDonald's wants you to have a background, buy more than one franchise. Some of the franchises actually provide funding. Explain that one, because I think that'll be of interest to some of our listeners today.
Well, we live in challenging times, and the strong franchisers are now offering in-house financing. You put whatever down, let's just say it's 20% down, say you're financing a $20,000 entry, so that's what, $8,000 down, they'll finance the balance over 3-4 years, and I think that's a very positive thing for a potential new owner. Now you've got your franchisor helping you start your business, and they have their skin in the game too because they're lending you money.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an awesome thing. So you're probably going to get a ton of phone calls on that one just alone, girl. And there's another piece to the financing. This is something and I know we're kind of shifting around here, but, you know, on the franchising side and the funding side of things, you know, you were the one that shared this with me, that I hadn't heard of this, that people that have come from corporate America, let's say they have a 401k plan, they can self-direct and self-fund their business venture by actually having their 401k fund be the investment choice for their business venture. Is that correct? And maybe I'm not explaining it right, but explain that, because that is really a unique way to fund your business with your 401k plan.
Well, to try to simplify how it works is, when you have a 401k, you usually invest in some kind of stocks, right? So
mm-hmm.
you can change what you're investing in. You can switch it from company A to company B. As long as you don't touch those funds, there's no tax penalty. There's no taxes you have to pay. So if you want to fund your business with your 401k, you just transfer it into a new corporation, and it could be Michelle's corporation, and that corporation loans the money to Michelle, the individual, to start her new business. So it's a really, really great way for a person to start their business and have absolutely zero debt. And depending on how big their 401k plan is, they can actually start their business, totally pay for that whole business and set up a salary for themselves within that 401k money that they had.
And is that, I mean, will you dog phone calls and people interested in that piece if they're interested in buying a franchise? Is it only buying a franchise that they can do that with, or is it? Okay.
No, they can do that if they want to start their own business, their mom and pop business as well.
Well, I just think, I hope people are listening to that, because I think that's one of the most unique things I've ever heard of. And I, you know, try to stay on top of some of these unique business funding, you know, options, because it's just, it's so tough right now to get an SBA loan with people upside down in their homes. It's like, you know, people have had to do short sales. That impacts whether they can get funding or not. So listen up, folks, because I think that is an amazing piece. And while I have it, so I'm not doing this when we wrap up, I think there's going to be some interest for you, Tammy, on people hearing about some of these options and buying a franchise and funding it with your 401k and how you self-direct it. How do people get a hold of you? Just so, like, what phone number do you want people to call, and can you just share your email address with everyone?
Absolutely. My toll-free number is 888-943-8249. Again, it's 888-943-8249. My website is your, Y-O-U-R, franchise, connection.com.
Awesome. And we'll say it again at the end, but I want to make sure that was in here. So, you know, I mean, what are, I guess, you know, because this is Women Leading the Way Radio, and it's like, you know, statistics I know is that women are starting businesses at 3 times the rate of men, but yet, you know, still it's like women getting to multi-million dollar business ventures is not at the rate that is, I'm sure you can imagine, men do. So what are some of the franchises you see that, you know, for a woman, like you said, you know, who maybe finds themselves with, you know, they're out of work, they've been laid off, maybe they have a family, small children. How, you know, how do you kind of match the franchise to the individual? And then let's focus on women, because I look at it and think, man, you know, are there some easy franchises that women can start that maybe allow them to be at home dealing with the kidlets for them to start businesses? Do you kind of see a couple that are maybe really good ventures for someone in that situation?
Absolutely. Again, it depends on what they like doing. If they like being around children, they can open up a child education franchise. They can open up one that's more tutoring, or they can open up one that's fun, like an art-based franchise.
Art-based.
And that's
well, that one sounds interesting. What's the art-based one? That one sounds cool, because there's no art in schools anymore out here. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So here we're talking about a niche here that we need. It's they have a curriculum that teaches different art, which is which side of the brain, the right or the left, which studies have showed, you know, you tap into both sides of your brain as a young child, you do better in school. So they have core curriculum that they teach the art classes either on the school site and use the classroom, or it could be the community center in the cities, the park and recreation department.
I think that sounds awesome, just as options for people to do. So, I mean, let me shift to you, because I'm curious. I mean, you get excited when you start talking about franchises. I've known you for a while, and I always crack up because you get so excited when you start talking about your business and what you do. I mean, how do you keep on top of all these options? How do you keep on top of the franchises? Which ones are hot? Which ones are easy to work with? I mean, I'm assuming some franchises are better and easier to work with than others. How do you assess, you know, the different options that someone can buy into and take on?
Well, I'm a professional. I belong to multiple associations in my field. I'm constantly, I'm constantly being solicited to represent new franchises. So there's a lot of background education that I go through to learn about these opportunities, and that's part of my pre-screening opportunity. So that when I work with somebody, I don't just show them a brand-new franchise that opened up their door yesterday. I'm going to show them companies that I personally would buy into because I've done research on them.
And some of the research that you do you actually go visit the franchises? What kind of research do you do to determine, hey, because, you know, there's some flaky franchises. I bought a franchise when I first started in business, and, you know, it was a good program, but, you know, kind of the joke for us was, well, gosh, I bought a franchise that I'm selling, you know, worksheets and cassette tapes. It was a great model, but, you know, when you really look at it, it was like, okay, that's what I'm selling. So how do you – you know, help people. Because I'll tell you one thing I've never heard from someone who's bought a franchise, and maybe I'm, you know, I'm just kind of slighted on the other side, is I hear people that say, gosh, you know, I wish I would have done more due diligence, or I didn't realize how much, you know, that I didn't have creative options, you know, in buying a franchise. What are some of the things that you might give as tips to people if they're thinking of buying a franchise that they should be aware of, you know, to kind of know that it's like, you know, it's not you being creative to come up with your own revenue producers. You've got to follow the model, and that's a huge piece, is they have a success model for you. So how do you, you know, what should be some things that people should keep in mind as they consider buying a franchise?
Well, first and foremost, I would look to see if they've joined the International Franchise Association. That's the big governing body in the United States. You can go on their website, internationalfranchiseassociation.com. And then within the franchising industry, there's lots of rating companies like the Franchise Times, the Entrepreneur Magazine, and they have ratings for, like, you know, they have the Fast 55, that's new emerging companies. They break down companies into small organizations, which, don't quote me, but let's just say it's 50 employees or less, medium size and large size. There's lots of criteria categories that you can look under and see if that franchise is in there. Now, part of what I do is help the people that I work with through the due diligence. So we speak with the franchisor. We look at their FDD, which is the franchise disclosure document. That's the legal document. It has to be released. We go through that, and we look at the black and white, and then we talk to current franchisees in their system, and I always recommend that we talk to somebody brand new into the system, a couple of years into the system, and then let's talk to some of the heavy hitters. Let's actually ask the franchisor, who are your top three franchisees in your system? And so we can gauge in the brand new franchisees if they got the training and support and feel like they're on target to meet their goals. And then when we talk to the ones that have been in the system a little bit longer, they can say, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm getting ongoing support. I'm meeting my goals, and everything's peachy cool. And then we want to talk to the high-end ones or the top-performing ones and see what are they doing different, you know? Mm. And obviously the ones at the high end are following the franchisor's system. That's another gauge of success. You know, you
right.
can't get into a business model that's predefined and not follow the system. That's what makes it easier for anybody to get into a franchise, because I call it a business in a box. You just got to pick out the right box, open it up, and follow the directions.
Well, and isn't that a lead up? Because again, we're, you know, what I see is with people who have bought franchises, all of a sudden it's like they get into the franchise and they're starting to think, oh, you know, we want to offer this kind of thing that's outside of kind of the success model of the franchise. And I think that's one of the danger areas, right, is that, you know, if you want to be creative, if you want to do your own thing, then a franchise is not a good model for you. I mean, that's the beauty of a franchise system, is that you come in, you follow it, and boom, you know, you follow the success model, you should be successful, correct?
Correct. Correct.
And do you find people kind of misunderstand that as they come in and they look to buy a franchise? I mean, what's kind of the biggest misunderstanding, you know, that you see with people, you know, either looking at franchises or considering, or when they buy them?
Well, they have an area that they have intrigue with, like, let's say pizza. Oh, I always see a line at lunchtime at that pizza place. It's, you know, couple of minutes from my house. And it's like, you don't know what that business owner is experiencing. You don't know if he's actually making money. So don't go into an opportunity because you really love pizza. You know, that's a business model that's going to require a lot of your time. And just because it's busy at lunch doesn't mean he's actually covering his rent and paying his employees.
No, that's a really good point, because I think people, it's like, you know, hey, it's like you might like something. It's like people that do crafts or hobbies. It's like, you know, doing them with love is a lot different than pumping them out for revenue and profit, right? Making a machine out of it. You might love pizza, but the question is, do you like making pizza and running the business of pizza? Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want to ask you, because, you know, you are, I think you're in a very unique, you know, industry for what you do. I mean, I got to say, I've known from my banking background and then helping people start businesses, I've seen people that help individuals buy franchises, but I don't see very many women. And I'm kind of curious, it's like from the kind of colleagues and competitors that you see. It's like, are there very many women like you, Tammy, that kind of do this as a business? Because I don't, I see mostly men. So I'm kind of curious if you see that. And, you know, yabba dabba, I'm excited to see that a woman's leading the way here for franchising.
Oh, yes, there's lots of women. I have no idea what proportion it is, but my guess would be 50-50.
Really? Okay.
It's,
wow,
it's
that's
not
a
even higher. You know, you asked me about what opportunities are good for women. I just wanted to add in there that certain franchises actually offer discounts for minorities, which a woman are, and veterans. So there are advantages. And veterans are excellent candidates to get into a franchise because they understand systems.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably a big one. Cool. And then did you say women too? So there's some franchises will actually offer discounts or incentives to the, they will, for women to buy franchises.
Yes.
And minorities, I think you mentioned too.
Right.
That's rad.
Well, women are considered minorities.
As the last few minutes of us online, it's like, you know, what do you find is the biggest challenge to you, if you can share? Because, you know, part of, I guess, being a woman leading the way is that, you know, even though everything looks wonderful and it's successful, we all kind of have challenges and issues to running our business. I mean, what's been the biggest challenge to you that you've kind of experienced in running this type of business center? Curious.
Challenges. Well, financing can be a challenge, you know, if they don't have any kind of liquid assets in any direction. And, you know, the reality is you really don't need a whole lot of money, but you have to have access to at least 20, 30 liquid. And that could be in, you know, a stock account. I don't think many people have equity in their home, but the retirement and so on. The other challenge could be if the significant other is not on board with self-employment. And sometimes you don't find that out until you start doing some research into being self-employed, and then the spouse might say, you know what, I really don't want you to go that direction. Those are probably the two biggest. As long as the individual is open to looking at different opportunities, and again, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned we all have skill sets. That's the positive side. And if you've been in telecom for all your life, you do not have to stay in telecom. You've learned things. You can go into a totally different industry. And I find when I place folks in these franchises that they get excited. They've got a whole new industry that they can take their skills into. And it just brings excitement to them. And there's opportunity in an industry that's growing, not downsizing and outsourcing, but an industry that's actually growing right there in their local community. And it's unique. And so their market share is unlimited.
Well, I want to give you a couple of kudos because I actually talked to somebody that you had referred to me. We'll keep his name, you know, under wraps. But this gentleman was looking to buy a franchise. And, I mean, he is so excited about this franchise that he's looking to purchase. And I think you know who I'm talking about. It's a retail business. And, I mean, he's got great credentials from where he works. It's like he's worked for a very large organization for a long time. And this guy is just so fired up and so excited about the business center to be his own boss. I mean, that really is, don't you find the fascination for people that are so excited on the front end, but then how do you keep them excited when they get into the nitty-gritty details? I'm just kind of curious because you must see a lot of highs and lows with excitement and then frustration for the process of buying a franchise. Do you experience that with your clients and potential customers?
Yes, if they've never been self-employed or they haven't had a family member or a friend self-employed, it can be scary, and that is absolutely normal. But we manage those fears as we go through the process and do the due diligence on the actual franchise itself and matching their personal skill sets into that franchise system.
Love it. Love it. Wrap up on one, two things, Tammy. It's like if someone's considering buying a franchise, we're on the last minute here. It's like what should they do? I mean, one, I think they should pick up the phone and call you. And again, your number is what if people want to reach out to you. Share the 888 number again if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's 888-943-8249. 888-943-8249.
Awesome. And I'm, you know, one final kind of wrap up. Tell people, you know, how much time will you spend with them over the phone? A few minutes, a day?
Oh, I spend as much time as they're willing to invest.
Okay.
My goal is to help them. And when they stop wanting to help themselves, that's when I stop.
So, folks, we are wrapping up for today. I want to say thank you for being with us today and say, Tammy, thank you so much for your great information. I know you get excited about, you know, franchises, and I think everybody else should too. If you're out of work, if you're in transition and you're considering starting a business, I hope all of you will consider franchising. Tammy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
That's our show for today, and I'll see all of you next Monday morning at 9 a.m. We will be interviewing Betty Moore with Bottom Line Management, and we will be talking about the bottom line to beans and numbers in business. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll talk to you soon on the radio. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.